First of all, we want to welcome back one of our members.
It was hot getting somebody now. We have blood. Like, get somebody to sit there.
Mrs. Slomitz, who's been away. We, Baruch Hashem, she's Thank had you. Therapy, and she,
no,
she's
I'm
better.
Have that, baby. I had therapy, but now I need another.
She's fabulous.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back.
Thank you.
This world is called an olam, and the word olam comes from the word helem, hidden. Hashem in this world is hidden, but really if we think into every detail of the world, Hashem is found everywhere in the world. They have a tape of Rabbi Victor Miller Zitzal at a Purim Suda, and he quoted the Pasuk in this connection, that we say the Pasuk, Yoshev B'Seser El Yoin, B'Tseil Shaka Yislonon, that the Hashem who dwells in the El Yoin, in the heaven, he's B'Seser. He's hidden. He's betzail. He's in a shade. He's not open. But Victor Miller explained, when we are mispalel, we say v'yemole chvoidai es kol ha'aretz. The whole world should be full of the honor of Hashem. It doesn't mean that we're praying that his honor should get spread. It is spread throughout the whole world. While we're being mispalel is that the whole world should see his honor. The honor is there, but it's hidden. We have to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor throughout the world. So Purim shows us HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life. If you look throughout the Megillah, the name of Hashem does not appear one time, not even one time in the Megillah. But really, Hashem, if you analyze the story carefully, you could say, oh, coincidental. This happened, and that happened, and that happened. 25 different coincidences happened together to make the story of Purim. So you can look at it, oh, coincidence, this and this. But really, the person who looks correctly sees that all this is the Yad Hashem. So Hashem is nowhere in the Megillah, but in reality, in Be'emes, Hashem is everywhere in the Megillah. I just saw from, there's a pamphlet they just put out from Rav Gamliel Rabinovich. He's one of the big tzaddikim and Bali Kabbalah in Eretz Yisrael. So he brings down from the Mizritcher Magid. The Mizritcher Magid said the word we read tonight, Mitzvah, we're going to read, and tomorrow, Megillas Esther. So the Gemara says Esther menatar menolon. How do you know Esther? Shenemar v'anoichi haster aster espanai. Hashem said, "I will hide my face." That's what Esther's all about. So Esther is the Yad Hashem hidden, and our job is Megillas. Esther said to Mizritcher Magid, "Megillah means to be megale, to reveal that which Hashem's hiding." So in other words, Purim is an example to all of us how, not only on Purim, well, the lesson that we have to take from Purim is to affect our whole life and how we look at the world in general. A non-believer doesn't see the Yad Hashem in the world, but the person who sees correctly and thinks into everything, every detail of every limb of a person, how complicated it is, he sees in the hidden, he sees that this is all the Yad Hashem. Rabbi Victor Miller said a very nice thought, that before I go to Rabbi Victor Miller, Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich said two other things. That's why we put on masks on Purim. Because a person is supposed to compare himself to Hashem. So just like Hashem is hidden in this world, but really behind the secret of the world, there's Hashem. The hidden part of the world is Hashem. So the same thing, I'm not the person that my mask would make you think I am. I look like I'm Obama or Ronald Reagan, but really behind the mask is a firm Jew. That is a marshal of what Purim is all about. And that's why he says, that's why one of the reasons that people get shikr on Purim, I just got something. I'm going to send it out to the OU. I think it's like a 5-page thing of how to drink health that a person shouldn't
get.
Unfortunately, there have been serious accidents with people losing their lives. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky wrote that today, in our time, it's not a mitzvah to drink, it's an aveira to get. So a person has to do it correctly and responsibly, that chas v'sholom, that he doesn't get injured, or chas v'sholom, worse than that. But the inyan of a person drinking on Purim is also that the person you see looks like a wilde person, a wild person on Purim, but really deep down he's a Oyved Hashem, and the fire of Yiddishkeit burns within him. It's also like a type of mask. This person that you see in front of you is not really the real person, but this is all to bring out the message of Purim. Rabbi Avigdor Miller says that there's a famous Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, I've mentioned it before in Shiurim, Yosef Bereder Rabbi Yeshua Cholosh. Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, he got very weak, and he was very sick. And Ingid, it means he went into a coma, he passed out. And when he passed out, he raw. He got a look at Olam Haba, and when he came back from Olam Haba, maybe we talked of it like an out of life experience. He experienced Olam Haba even though he was still living in this world. When he came back, he came out of the coma, whatever it was. Shaloi Aviv. So his father asked him, "My chazis, what did you see on your trip to Olam Haba?" Amarlei oylem hafach ra'isi. I saw an upside down world. El yoinim lamata. Those who were on top were now at the bottom. V'tachtoinim lamal. Those who were at the bottom were now on top. Amarlei, his father said to him, "You didn't see an upside down world. That's the real world. Oylem bara ra'isi. We're in the upside down world in this world." So Rashi says, "Oysam shehem el yoinim kan machmas oshran." People here, who's on top? Rich people, that's who people give respect to. As soon as the person loses his wealth, then they don't give him respect anymore. But when he's rich, everybody gives him respect. He's the top banana. But what did I see? Ra'isi Sham Shehem Lamata. I saw in the next world, Hashem, I guess those who don't do tzedakah and don't keep the Torah properly, they're Lamata. V'tachtonim Lamala. Who are the bottom ones who are now on top? Ra'isi aniyim, shehem beinenu shvolim. Hey, I saw poor people who in this world we don't give honor to. Ra'isim chashuvim. There I saw that Hashem treats them with chashivas. The Gemara goes on, and his father asked him, "Va'anan heichi chazatinan? What did you see about us, talmidei chachamim? How are we?" Rashi says, "Balei Torah, heich asin and heich yesh chashiv v'sein. How are we considered chashiv?" Amar lei, he answered, "Kehechi the chashvin and hocha chashvin and hasam. By us, we're the same. The same covered kehechi." Rashi says, "The asin and hocha chashuvim v'nichbadim hochi asin and hasam. The same like we're treated here with chashivis. People give respect to a rav." So there we're treated the same, but the Aniyim and Ashirim, they're treated differently. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller, we're going to see what he wants to bring from this Gemara, but right now we have already learned from this Gemara that the world to come is different, is the opposite of what we see in this world. Again, in other words, the same ideas we brought from the story of Esther, Haster. This world looks one way to us, but in reality, it's something else. This world looks like there is no Hashem, but the Purim looks like there is no Hashem in the Megillah, but really, there is Hashem. So, now, I once spoke out, and we'll mention it, since we mentioned this Gemara, the Mabit. I heard this from Rav Kalevsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rashiva Yeshivas Ner Yisrael. He brought it down from the Sefer Beis Elokim, which was written by the Mabit. And he explains this Chazal. Rashi said it means rich people and poor people. the Mabit explains it based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Bey's Mishnah Tes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kibbeh Mehil v'Shamai. Who are you, Omer? Im lamadeta Torah harbe, al tachzik Torah la'atzmecha, ki lekach noitzarta. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't pat yourself on the back, because that's why you were created. So he explains the following. He gives a mashal, and we'll make it in contemporary terms. You have, let's say, a Talmud Chacham, someone learning in the Kollel, and you have a rich businessman. So the Talmud Chacham with food stamps, and he gets a little Kollel check, and altogether he makes $25,000 a year, which is barely existing. $25,000 a year. From that, he gives Meiser. He gives $2,500 for Meiser. How much does he learn every day? Eight hours a day. Very nice. The businessman, he, let's say, makes, $300,000 a year, and he gives Meiser $30,000. But he only has time to learn 2 hours a night. So if you go to the Kollel Jungerman and you ask him, what are you going to get Olam Haba for? He said, what do you mean what I'm going to get Olam Haba? I'm going to get Olam Haba. I learn every day 8 hours. And the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, that's not what you're going to get your main Olam Haba. Why? Because the 8 hours, you have 24 hours in a day. The 8 hours, you could have learned 10 hours. You could have learned 2 more hours. Beina storm at night, you had time to eat and sleep and take care of all your needs, but you could have squeezed out 2 more hours in the day. So im lamadeta Torah harbe, if you learned a lot, Torah, al tachzik Torah la'atzmecha, don't pat yourself on the back, ki lekach neitzarta, you were created to learn a lot of Torah. And in the Hashem looks if a person does his maximum. You're not doing your maximum. For what you were created, it's not your maximum. But the tzedakah that you gave from 25,000, where you're barely making it, and you gave from that 2,500, and now you only have left 22,500. So for that, that's going to be your olam haba, your main olam haba, because that's your maximum. Now we go to the businessman. The businessman, we're going to ask him, what are you going to get out of my boat? What do you mean? I give $30,000 a year to stock it. That's tremendous. If every person would give $30,000, all the deficits of the yeshivas would be wiped out. I give $30,000 a year to stock it. Of course, I'll get all my boat for that. And we say no. We could. The Mishnah doesn't say it, but we could say, "Im nasata tztaka harbe al tachzik toiv la'atzmecha ki lekach noitzarta." You rich businessman, if 300,000, if you would give 50,000, if you would give 75,000, you'd have left 225,000. You very comfortable living still. So for you were made to be rich, to have money, so that you could give a lot of tztaka. The Chavetz Chaim says even that a person with a lot of money, maybe he should even give a fifth. He should give a fifth. He should give not a tenth. He should give more. He should give a fifth. So for what you were created, you're not doing the maximum that you could do. But for your learning, you're busy in your business day and night, but you make sure every night to make kviyas itumot Torah. To learn 2 hours, nothing takes you away, even if you're in the middle of a big business deal. No, I have to learn my 2 hours. So that's your maximum. For that, that's going to be your main olam haba. So what do we see from this mabit? We see that the same idea that reality in olam haba, that's what he saw. Ra'isi gedolim lamata v'tachtonim lamala. What people think is their ticket to olam haba, the great things they did in their lives, Hashem looks at it differently. Not so great. For what you were created, you could have done better. What you don't think is so significant, you are only learning 2 hours a day. For you to learn every day to put away 2 hours, that's a maximum. That's going to be your main thing. For the Kollel Jungerman to give $2,500, he's only making $25,000. He makes sure to give $2,500. That's your maximum. That's going to be your main olam haba. So again, we see the idea that Hashem looks at things differently than we look at. What did Rabbi Avigdor Miller see in this Gemara? Rabbi Avigdor Miller saw in this Gemara that Purim is a glimpse of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, things are the opposite of what we think. So that he referred it to Rishoyim and Tzaddikim. Usually in this world, we think who winds up on top? The Rishoyim. They have the power, the ones who wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. They're the powerful ones in the world. But Purim gives us a glimpse of Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, we're going to see that the Rishoyim, who were mighty in this world, in the next world, they're going to be very low. In the Tzaddikim, who were low in this world, who didn't look like they had the power, they're going to be the great and mighty ones in the next world. So when we observe Haman and his 10 children hanging on the tree, that was a glimpse of Olam Haba. So I didn't hear Rabbi Avigdor Miller say this, but I think it's very obvious what he was referring to is in the Megillah it says Vinahapachu. What did Rabbi Yossi hear? The son Yosef berated Rabbi Yeshua. What did he tell his father? Olam Hafach Raisi. I saw a upside down world, just the opposite. What's big is small, and what's small is big. He told them, no, that's the real world. We're living in the upside-down world. We don't see things correctly. So, Memela Purim, where Vinahapachu, where Haman and his children, they're the one, Mordechai and Esther, who looked like they were going to be destroyed, they wound up the great ones. And Haman and his 10 sons, Vinahapachu, they were destroyed. So that Vinahapachu is exactly the same word that you have in the Gemara. Olam Hafach Reisi. I saw the opposite. Vinahapachu is a glimpse of Olam Haba. When you see the opposite of what we see usually in this world, that's Olam Haba, and Purim is a little glimpse. That's what you're going to see in Olam Haba. We got a chance on Purim to see what the reality is in Olam Haba. I saw in the Ated, brought an unbelievable, beautiful vort from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, same theme. We said that Hashem's name never appears in the Megillah. But there's one place in the Megillah where there's a remez, there's a hint to Hashem's name. And where is that? When Esther told Achashverosh, he asked, what do you want, Esther? I'll give you half of the kingdom. So she said four words. Yavoi HaMelech V'Haman Hayoyim El Asuda. Let El Amishta Asher Asisi Loi. Let the king and Haman come today to the Suda that I made. So if you look at the first letter of these four words, you see Hashem's name. Yud, and then a hey, and a vav, and a hey. Yavoi, HaMelech, let the king come, V'Haman, and Haman, Hayoyim. Yud, and then a hey, and a vav, and then a hey. So Rav Yaakov wanted to know why specifically, if Hashem's name's not mentioned anywhere in the Megillah, why was there even a remez of Hashem's name right here at these four words? So Rav Yaakov said, these four words were the bottom of the tragedy that was happening to the Jewish people. Haman said they should all get killed. The king gave a decree they should all get killed. But they still didn't come to the bottom of the tragedy. The worst part of the tragedy was these four words. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Klal Yisrael said to themselves, Achos, Yesh lanu, achos lanu bebeis hamelech. We have a sister in the palace. Don't worry, we have protectia. We have Esther. Esther Amalka. She's our sister. She'll take care of us. She'll get us off the hook. They still put their hopes in Esther. So Esther knew that the only way to Yeshua would come is, like the Gemara says, ein lanu lishoin ela alavinu shebishamayim. Only when Klal Yisrael realizes that there's no human being that we can depend on, not even Esther in the Beis HaMalka, it's only Hashem. So when Esther said, oh, I want you and Haman to come to a mishta, when the Jews heard about this, they gave up. They said, Oive, Esther, they thought to themselves, you know what Esther's doing? She's trying to save herself. She knows she's Jewish. And she's part of the Gzeir that she's going to get killed also. She's making a deal with Ahasuerus and Haman that she'll get, at least she'll get saved. You'll kill my whole people, but save me. Otherwise, how could she make a party with Haman and Ahasuerus? They didn't know what her plans were. So she knew that when they would find out that she, not only one Suda, she makes another Suda, second day, the Jews are going to go crazy. And then they're going to go to rely on the only thing that they know that they can rely, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they do tshuva and tefillah and have faith only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and no one else, and of course you can compare it to what we're going through today. Not Obama and not Bibi Netanyahu and not the State of Israel. That's not who we can depend on from an attack from our arch enemy, Iran. The only one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the point where the Klal Yisrael thought, this is the worst, this is the pits, this is the depths of how bad it's, of this Gzeira, at that spot, Yavoi HaMelech V'Haman Ayoyim, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, what looks like superficially the worst, that's really the point that's going to turn it all around for the best, and that's where we put the remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a beautiful pshat. And that's why she said, Leich Knos, Kol HaYehudim, we should have Achdus, all the Jews together, and they should fast, and then only by davening to Hashem, in the middle of the darkness and the Helam, and what, again, the Jews who are living through it see Helam, they see hidden. They don't see Hashem. And that moment, that's where Hashem came into the picture, because you gave up from all human survival. Now, this pshat of Rabbi Yaakov is an example where the Chazal are able to see things that regular people can't see. So he brought, this was a Dvar Torah from Rabbi Noble, who's married to a granddaughter of Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said this Dvar Torah, he said over a story that happened with Rabbi Yaakov in my hometown, Toronto, Canada. Rabbi Yaakov was, I wasn't zocha to be in the shul, but I used to daven in the, we called it the Arcy Street Shul. Rabbi Ox, Rabbi David Ox, it's all, was the Rav there after Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was the Rav in that shul in Toronto before he went to Yeshiva Tarvadas. So he was a Rav during the war. So a Jew once came over to him in Toronto and said, I don't understand. We're better in Canada than the Jews in Europe. Why is all this happening to the Klal Yisrael in Europe, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam? Are we better than them? So Rabbi Yaakov says that he got a Siyata Rishmaya, and on the spot, Hashem gave him in his head an answer. And he said to them, when Lot was running away, and the Malach said, where do you want to go? So he said, I want to go to the city of Tsoar. Hine no ha'ira zoitz kroiva lo neshama vehi mitzar. Amalto no shama haloi mitzar hi yuschi nafshi. It's closer. What does it mean it's closer to city, Mitzar? So Rashi explains krova means that it was inhabited earlier than the cities of Stom, excuse me, it was inhabited later than the cities of Stom Vavmora. It's closer to now. So in other words, it's not as old as Stom Vavmora. So what does that make a difference? So he says, Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yudam Bebe says, Lefikach lo nismala sasa adayin. It didn't do as many sins. If you'd leave Mitzar another, it was 1 year, Rashi figures out, Mitzar was established 1 year after Sodom and Gomorrah. So Sodom and Gomorrah have many averes, and they have more averes than Mitzar. Mitzar is young. It's small. It's close. It doesn't have as many averes as the Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, it's not It didn't come by Stav and Amor. It came to the breaking point that it's going to explode. It had to be destroyed. Mitzor is not up to that, so that's a safe place. So Rabbi Yaakov said, it's not that we in Canada are better than the Jews in Europe. Canada and the United States was 1492, Columbus discovered America. That's when it became inhabited. The European countries have been around for thousands of years, so they're full of averus, much more. So that's why it's happening to them. So again, the idea over here is that a Godel, through Chazal, through the Torah, is able to understand Abal Abos Seichel. He says, we're better than them. And Rabbi Yaakov understood it in a different way and gave a beautiful answer. And finally, he brings from the Chafetz Chaim. At the end of World War, after World War I, all the monarchies got destroyed. In Russia, Germany, Austria, Hungary, Turkey, and the Chafetz Chaim wanted to know, why did this happen? Why did Hashem make the same like now? We have the Arab Spring. We see all the countries changing. We don't yet know what Hashem has in mind. But the Chafetz Chaim, he wanted to figure out, why did Hashem do this? All the monarchies, all these countries that I mentioned had kings in them, and they got overthrown. Why did it happen? So the Chafetz Chaim said, because in the future Hashem is going to come to punish all these countries that practice anti-Semitism. And they're going to give an answer. We had to do it because we lived under a king and the king wanted it. And if you don't listen to the king, you get killed. So we had no choice. We had to listen. But we really didn't want it. So Hashem said, that's no excuse. Because I'll show you, all these countries will lose the king. And the only one, Rabbi Yaakov says, the only country that didn't show anti-Semitism was Czechoslovakia. All the other countries, without a king, when they ruled on their own, they still had the anti-Semitism. So this is no excuse. So here, from all of what we said today, we have the idea that Chazal are able, through the Torah, they're able to see things that a regular person looks at in a whole different way. And all this brings out the idea of Purim and Esther, that the Torah is Hester, Hashem is hidden, Purim was a Nes Nister. All the Nisim that happened till Purim in Pesach and Sukkot, all the Nisim that Klal Yisrael experienced were Nisim Gluyim. But Purim was a Nes Nister. And that is the lesson of Purim that we have to take into our everyday lives, that if we look carefully, we see Hashem. But the Torah has different eyeglasses. When you put on the Chazal and Gedolim, the way they look at things, we gave a few examples here, they're able to see, like we had in the Gemara, El Yoinim Lamata Tachtoyim Lamala. You think one way, that this is high and this is low, and really vina hapachu, oilam hafachu reisi. And he told him, no, oilam bora reisa. You saw the right thing. We here see things different. And the same thing is, and there's one example that I forgot to give, and that was what the Michtav Melio says. I once mentioned this, I believe, as well, that the Klal Yisrael thought, why is the tragedy of Haman coming? Because Mordechai la yichrav la yishtachve. He doesn't want to bow down to Haman. And really, Chazal tells us, because they ate from the Suda of Achashverosh. And that Suda was 11 years earlier. So in other words, the Jews who see Mordechai not bowing down, and Haman says Lahashmid Lahargla, but it's called a Yehudim, they're thinking, whose fault is it? The rabbi's fault. Look, if he would have bowed down, and he could have, There could be a teirim. It wasn't a real avodah zorah that Haman was wearing and whatever. Why did he have to endanger our lives? It's his fault. And in reality, the Chazal say no. They bowed down to the avodah zorah of Nebuchadnezzar, it says. They were nene from the Suda of Achashverosh, which happened so many years earlier. So to the person who's living through it right now, he thinks, it looks like B'derech HaTeva, that it is Mordechai's fault. But in the reality, in the Hester, Vanoichi Hester Aster, in the hidden, in the reality, in the Hoylam Hafuch, the opposite, it's because they did an Avera, they had a Nar from the Suda. So this teaches a very important lesson that we have to believe in Chazal, the way they were able to see what the Megillas Esther, the Esther has to be Megala. We have to, as the theme of this shir is, we have to lift the veil and uncover the mask of Purim.